Alright ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the channel, where in today's video we're going to look at some of the events that have transpired in the last 24 hours. Some pretty serious things have taken place. We're going to look at the geopolitical ramifications of this, including looking at the conflict tracker so we can see what exactly is happening at the moment. I'm then going to link all of this with BRICS and what's happening with BRICS and the ramifications of these events and what might happen as a result. So let's get straight into the shared screen now then. So this is the biggest news that's taken place overnight then. Iran says at least 95 people were killed in blasts at a ceremony honoring their slain general. So this is from AP News. Two bombs exploded and killed at least 95 people at a commemoration for a prominent Iranian general who was killed by a drone strike back in 2020. And at the moment, no one is claiming responsibility for this attack. The news outlet here says, for what appeared to be the deadliest militant attack to target Iran since its 1979 Islamic Revolution. Iran's leaders vowed to punish those responsible for the blast, which wounded at least 211 people. Now, obviously, by the time this video comes out, as I'm recording, I've got to edit, upload, etc., this will no doubt have changed in terms of the numbers. I wouldn't be surprised if we're over 100 people who have been killed by this blast as a result of the secondary incident here. The explosion struck minutes apart on Wednesday, shaking the city of Kerman, about 510 miles southeast of the capital, Tehran. The second blast sprayed shrapnel into a screaming crowd fleeing the first explosion. I'll explain the geopolitical aspects of this in a moment. First, let's just look at what actually happened. The gathering marked the fourth anniversary of the killing of General Soleimani, the head of the Revolutionary Guard's elite force. So this was a US drone strike in Iraq. The explosions occurred near his grave site as long lines of people gathered for the event. The attacks came a day after a deputy head of the Palestinian militant group Hamas was killed in a suspected Israeli strike in Beirut. Now, let's just look at this a second, because Israel has not taken responsibility for this strike. And a number of media outlets say that it was not Israel that conducted the strike, even though it was an Israeli drone that killed the deputy chief. So it is a little bit strange, the whole situation. I think they're trying to play this very politically at the moment. But Reuters has come out straight away with the story claiming it was an Israeli strike. And Lebanon are going to be appealing to the United Nations about this, as they claim a number of civilians were killed and they're calling this a terrorist attack and a violation of Lebanon's sovereignty. So this, of course, was the building that the drone attacked. Back to Iran here then. The first bomb on Wednesday was detonated at 3 p.m. and the other went off some 20 minutes later. It was the second blast that killed and wounded the most people. A delayed second explosion is often used by militants to inflict more casualties by targeting emergency personnel responding to an attack. Iran's supreme leader said the attackers will face a harsh response, though he didn't name any possible suspect. The Iranian president added, undoubtedly, the perpetrators and leaders of this cowardly act will soon be identified and punished. While Israel has carried out attacks in Iran over its nuclear program, it has conducted targeted assassinations, not mass casualty bombings. A U.S. State Department spokesman said American officials had no reason to believe Israel was involved in Wednesday's attack in Iran. Now, I would love to know your thoughts on this in the comments below. Who do you think is responsible for this attack? And over to Al Jazeera then. They lead with the headline, "Heinous, World Reacts to Twin Blasts That Kill Dozens in Iran." While no one has claimed responsibility and it was not immediately clear what caused the blast, Iranian officials have blamed a terrorist attack. So I've highlighted some of the global reactions in the aftermath here, because I did think it was very unusual who responded and who didn't. So the European Union then demanded that the perpetrators of the twin blasts be brought to justice and condemned the attack. The EU condemns in the strongest terms today's bombing in the city of Kerman in Iran. The EU expresses its solidarity with the Iranian people. This act of terror has exacted a shocking toll of civilian deaths and injuries, a UE foreign affairs correspondent said in a statement. Our thoughts now are with the victims and their families. Perpetrators must be held accountable. I won't go through all of the responses, but you can see there is Hezbollah, Houthis, Iraq, Malaysia, Russia. Putin expressed his condolences to Iran's leadership. Russian news agency reported Putin condemned terrorism in all its forms and said the attack on peaceful people was shocking in its cruelty and cynicism. We'll have a look in a moment at the BRICS and you can see why Russia is so allied with Iran. Turkey as well. The United Nations, the UN chief Antonio Guterres offered his condolences for those killed and called for the perpetrators to be held accountable. The Secretary General strongly condemns the attack today on a memorial ceremony in Kerman City in the Islamic Republic of Iran, which reportedly killed more than 100 people and injured many more. Over to the United States then, which was one of the only Western countries to actually respond. US officials rejected any suggestion that it or ally Israel was behind deadly blasts in Iran. Soleimani was killed 4 years ago in a US drone strike. The United States was not involved in any way, and any suggestion to the contrary is ridiculous, the Department of State spokesperson said. We have no reason to believe that Israel was involved in this explosion, he added during a daily news briefing. Separately, a White House spokesman also said the US has seen no indication that Israel was behind the blast. We do express our sympathies to the victims and their loved ones who died in this horrific explosion. Please drop a comment below who you actually think was involved. Now, I want to come on to the BRICS aspect here. This is your Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Because as we talked about in yesterday's video and also previously to this with forecasts, BRICS have now accepted 5 new members. The 6th member was Argentina, who declined to join, but they have accepted these new members as of the 1st of January. So just this week, we have Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, who we are talking about today, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE. Now, this has strengthened BRICS on a huge scale and made them much larger, a real powerhouse now with these new additions, these 5 additions. And remember, this is just the beginning. There are a lot more countries that want to join. So having Iran, Saudi, and the UAE join has added a lot of strength, both economically and military, to the BRICS alliance. And the sheer fact that Iran and Saudi have come together is a breakthrough in itself. And just look at the GDP here of the average citizen, or the GDP per capita, as we call it. It's quite staggering for the UAE and Saudi when you look at what it was previously for these nations, 18, 24, 10, 21, and 16. So we've seen a lot of economic power actually coming in to the alliance as well. And this is the expansion process at the moment. As we can see by the map here, let's open this up. The blue is the current BRICS members at the moment. Let's look here. The applicants are in orange and the yellow are expressions. So you can see the sheer scale of the BRICS alliance that is really forming right now. And I want to talk about a couple more things with this. These are the countries that have applied for membership. There's 15 countries that have applied now. This is Algeria, Bahrain, Bangladesh, Belarus, Bolivia, Cuba, Kazakhstan, Kuwait, Pakistan, Palestine. This will be a very interesting one if this actually happens. Senegal, Thailand, where I am currently myself, Venezuela, and Vietnam. We also have a number of other potential candidates, everyone from Afghanistan all the way through to Syria to Zimbabwe. Now, another thing that's quite interesting is their NDB, or their New Development Bank, which is growing at a large scale. I also find the breakdown of share capital quite interesting, how they made it completely fair despite the huge disparity with the GDP. And let's look at the BRICS payment system here. At the 2015 BRICS summit, which took place in Russia, ministers from BRICS nations initiated consultations for a payment system that would be an alternative to the SWIFT system. The stated goal was to initially move to settlements in national currencies. The Central Bank of Russia highlighted the main benefits as backup and redundancy in case there were disruptions to the SWIFT system. And that's exactly what happened when Russia was kicked out of the SWIFT system. China also launched its own alternative to SWIFT. We covered this in a video. This is the cross-border interbank payment system, which enables financial institutions worldwide to send and receive information about financial transactions. India also has its alternative SWIFT system as well, as do Russia and Brazil. Now, the other thing that's quite interesting is this potential common currency that they are developing. BRICS countries committed to study the feasibility of a new common currency or similar. And this was at the 2023 BRICS summit in South Africa, so very recently. Fair and easier international trade, as well as a major reduction in cost of transactions, would be some of the reasons why the countries could forge a currency union. We discussed this common currency even before they announced it last year here on the channel. And although a lot of Western economists said that this just wouldn't be feasible and that the BRICS nations couldn't get away from using the US dollar for trade and all of their reasons, actually, I broke down previously why they could get away. And if you think about how a lot of currency forex transactions take place, a lot of people think that money is swapped from one position here to another. Actually, that isn't really how it happens. A lot of it is simply done on electronic contracts. So let's say that you are in position A and you want to swap some dollars for some other currency on this side of the world. A lot of people assume that the money actually swaps over and changes hands, when that isn't how it happens. It's usually just an electronic contract which is settled on whatever basis they settle it, depending on the currency. So all that's happening now is that the BRICS are settling their transactions between one another. They're using common currencies, they're using these digital contracts in order to actually bypass the dollar. And I think the alternative payment systems that we're talking about here will really just strengthen and cement this in as they go live later on. Now, finally, I want to look at the global conflict tracker, because we didn't have time last week to actually go into this. But there is conflict all over the world at the moment. We just don't see it in the media. And this is CFR.org, so it is very US-centric. And you can even see here, impact on the US. It's all geared towards the impact on the US itself. Now, I don't necessarily agree with all of their assessments, such as the war in Ukraine. They have the impact on the US as critical, and the status as worsening. I would agree with the status, but not the impact on the US. We also have loads of conflict throughout the Middle East, from Turkey through to Syria to Iraq. These have been ongoing for a long period of time. We even have North Korea. They have an impact on the US as critical. But I'd say the most critical one is the confrontation over Taiwan. I would say this is the most extreme and critical, as we discussed in yesterday's video. Because if this does take place, the US will be dragged in, and this could start a whole new military front with two of the largest militaries in the world. But many of these conflicts have been ongoing for a long time, especially in Africa and the Middle East. Another one, for example, here is Mexico. The criminal violence in Mexico, they have as a global, severe, and significant conflict. Instability in Haiti, again, ongoing. The status is worsening at the moment. Significant impact for the US. Venezuela as well. So you can see that there are massive global conflicts going on at the moment. This has been ongoing for a long period of time. If you actually look at the world map here, you can see that most of the conflict is focused around this central region. And as we talked about in previous videos, the US military industrial complex doesn't want an end to a lot of these conflicts. War is highly profitable for defense contractors all around the world, which is why on the previous video, I showed all the lobbying, all the contracts, even some of the US politicians who were buying shares before conflicts or attacks even took place. So although I would love for the world to be at peace, I'm sure most of us would, I just don't see this happening at any time in the near future. The situation with Iran is no doubt going to have knock-on effects as well. Also with these strikes onto other sovereign nations, especially when they target civilian tower blocks. These things will continue to escalate. Tensions will continue to get worse. So that is you now up to date. Thanks for being a subscriber here. Take care, God bless, and I will see you tomorrow.